Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining me. And folks, before we begin, I wanted to say that we're continuing to pray for the recovery of those who were hurt in Wednesday morning shooting. And while I don't know the motives of the shooter, I think it goes without saying that this is a time for unity. It is incumbent upon leaders in Washington and across the country to start focusing on ways to unite rather than identifying things that divide us. This week, Democrat Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts and I led efforts to put forward the Leadership Recognition Act to ensure appropriate compensation for enlisted service members. Except for seven senior enlisted positions, enlisted personnel do not receive a pay increase as their responsibility levels grow, creating great discrepancies between service members with the same rank with equivalent levels of responsibility. Additionally, each year troops are mandated to receive a pay raise that matches the employment cost index unless the president cites economic concerns or a national emergency. Unfortunately, previous presidents have cited economic concerns to deny troops their pay raise while simultaneously claiming a growing economy publicly. And the budget request for fiscal year 2018 for a pay raise does not match the employment cost index. The Leadership Recognition Act addresses these discrepancies by ensuring fair compensation among senior enlisted advisors and removes the president's ability to block pay raises by citing economic concerns. Our senior enlisted service members carry a great responsibility leading our troops on and off the battlefield, and they must receive appropriate compensation so we retain them and in turn strengthen our military. Likewise, it is important that we are able to recruit service members by giving troops a pay raise that matches the employment cost index in the private sector. I am glad to partner with my colleague, Senator Warren, to ensure our troops are receiving the compensation they deserve for serving our great nation. Moving on to health care. As many of you know, on Tuesday, I joined some of my Senate colleagues at the White House for a meeting on health care reform. We had a productive meeting, and discussions will continue to take place over health care reform. One thing that I can't stress enough is that, unfortunately, in Iowa, we don't have the option to continue the status quo when it comes to health care. The reality is, the status quo is truly unsustainable. Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield and Aetna have both pulled out of the Iowa individual market altogether, leaving only one statewide carrier. And as some of you have indicated in your reports, the sole carrier, Medica, is very concerned about its ability to continue to serve Iowans in the individual market. Should they leave too, 72,000 Iowans will be left without an option to purchase health insurance next year due to Obamacare. That's unacceptable. While traveling across Iowa on my 99-county tour, I hear from Iowans who are looking for affordable and patient-centered healthcare solutions. Their feedback is critical. As with any reform, we must ensure that it is done thoughtfully and carefully, but also with close attention to how it will affect insurance availability in 2018 and beyond. Switching gears a bit, this summer I will be hosting two U.S. Service Academy open houses for Iowa students interested in applying to or learning more about our service academies. These U.S. Service Academy open houses give Iowa students the opportunity to learn more about serving our country while also receiving a full four-year scholarship from some of our nation's finest institutions of higher learning. We will hold the first Service Academy open house on Saturday, June 24th from 2:30 p.m. until 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon at the Cedar Rapids Public Library in Cedar Rapids. The second will be Friday, August 11th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon at the Camp Dodge Freedom Center in Johnston. Students will have the chance to talk with Academy representatives and learn more about the process. I encourage our students who may be interested to join us. For more information, you can visit our website, ernst.senate.gov. And with that, let's go ahead and open up for questions.
First, we have Mario Rossi with WOI. Senator, if you could do so, please talk a little bit more about the health care talks with Trump and with the other senators and give us sort of a timeline as far as when you think these sorts of things will progress to a vote.
Well, we have been engaging in a number of talks, and I have been involved in the informal healthcare work group. So we will continue to have those talks. And we did have a productive meeting at the White House. And again, those discussions will continue as well with the administration. The reality as we know it in Iowa is that keeping on with the status quo and Obamacare it just is not working. It's unsustainable. So Wellmark, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and Aetna have pulled out. I expressed that to the president, and I told him it was likely that in January of 2018, Iowans would not have an option if they were covering or carrying individual policies. So we will continue to have those discussions. We are working on solutions that allow greater flexibility and affordability, and that's what we need in Iowa. So we'll continue those discussions. I cannot give you a definite time frame because, again, we're just being very thoughtful and careful about the process. We want to make sure that it is sustainable in the long run, as we've proved in Iowa that the current system, Obamacare, is not sustainable.
Next, we have Joe Morton with the Omaha World Herald.
Thanks, Senator, and thanks for doing this call, as always.
Thanks, Joe.
Keeping with the health care theme, obviously a lot of folks are concerned about the state of affairs with insurers leading the market. A lot of others also anxious, though, about what could be coming from Congress. Can you share any specifics at all about what's in the legislation at this point, and are you comfortable with a process that doesn't have any markups or hearings or involvement with Democrats, basically?
Well, I don't have language. I will be upfront about that. We don't have language. And what I am hoping is that language that will be presented to us includes all of the items and discussions that we have had in our informal work group. And I hope it stays within the confines of what we've had within that informal work group. But as I stated, affordability is very, very important. Flexibility is important. And we have discussed about how do we care for those that have pre-existing conditions, because that's very important that we make sure those individuals continue being covered. So those are some of the things that I hope to see in the upcoming bill. And again, we don't have that language in front of us. And certainly, I think that we need to be very thoughtful about this. And I would like to have a product that can be presented to the public so that we can receive their input. And I talk about the 99 county tour all the time, but when I've been out and about, healthcare is one of the biggest topics that a lot of our citizens are bringing up. And so we have been listening to their concerns, and I am sharing those concerns in those informal work group settings, as well as some of the concerns that I shared with the president as well, by laying out what's happening in Iowa and what very likely could happen soon in Nebraska.
And can you just talk a little bit about the working group, how big it is, how you came to be part of it?
The work group, actually, it's kind of funny the way the media has reported it. It's an informal work group, and it includes all of our 52 Republican senators. So senators are free to come and go on those work group meeting days and provide input, the areas that are concerning for their states, the ideas that they have. So it's been very, I would say, very productive. And that we've had a lot of input in those work group meetings. So we will continue those, and hopefully we will have draft language that we can share with others.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next, we have Cynthia with KCCI-TV.
Hi, Senator. I'm curious about what you think in terms of security for all members of Congress and senators. Do you think there's a need for all to have a security detail now?
Well, I do know, and I trust our Capitol Police. So I think we need to be vigilant at all times, and I remain vigilant. Our staff members are vigilant. I don't know that we're to the level where we all need security details, but it does make us think a little bit more after yesterday's incidents about our awareness. And if we talk about this all the time, if you see something, say something. If something seems unusual, we certainly need to raise that to the level of concern that the Capitol Police should be notified and they should be able to check into that. So you'll see a lot of us are coming and going as we normally do, but as we normally do also includes vigilance. So we just need to stay alert to our changing surroundings. And if something seems off or different, we need to notify the proper authorities.
Next, we have Ed Anderson with Radio Dubuque.
No questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is James Lynch with the Gazette.
Hi, Senator.
Hi, James.
I wanted to stick with the health care discussion here. What did you make of President Trump's comment that the House passed bill is mean? And does that influence your thinking on the legislation?
Well, we really have been working on our own thoughts and ideas in the Senate in our informal work group. We're making sure that we are representing our constituents in our own home states and finding a way that we can best serve those constituents. So whether it would include measures in the House bill or not, we will make the revisions necessary. And like I said, don't have the language right now, but we're all hoping that it stays within the measurements that we have discussed within those work group settings. But I do think we just need to take a look at this and make sure that we are doing the right thing for people and making sure that we're covering pre-existing conditions and making sure it is affordable. I hear about affordability on the 99 county tour all the time. I have not had one person tell me yet that they've saved $2,500 a month for their family. So it has become such an issue where costs are skyrocketing and people can't go to the doctor because they can't afford the out-of-pocket costs. So we have to get back to focusing on what is right for our individuals. What will work for the individual market? What will work for group settings? All of those have been discussed in our work group sessions, and we hope that we have a product that will work and be sustainable for the long run.
Next, we have Mike Peterson with KMA.
Good afternoon, Congressman.
How are you, Mike?
Very good. Senator, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Thanks,
long,
Mike.
Long day. Senator, what is your reaction to the news that Robert Mueller, with the special prosecutor, is likely going to investigate President Trump because of the allegations over Russian collusion in the 2016 presidential elections? Is that a bad sign for the Trump administration?
No, as I've said before, I think we need to let the special counsel and the congressional investigations continue, and we will, you know, follow the facts where they lead. I think he has been appointed. He will again dig in. We have the House Intelligence Committee that is looking into this, as well as the Senate Intelligence Committee. They are bipartisan groups, and let the facts, show us the way. So we'll see how this goes, but I don't want to make any judgments until those investigations are complete. And I do have confidence in our system, and I think that having that special counsel will definitely move us in the right direction.
Next, we have Elizabeth Meyer with the Hawkeye.
My questions were answered. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Next, we have Jason Noble with the Des Moines Register.
Thank you, Senator.
Hey,
I wanted to follow up on the health care issue, too, here. So if this working group of senators is not sort of actively crafting this bill, and we've got VHHS Secretary Tom Price saying that he hasn't seen language yet, who actually is writing this legislation? And then to follow on to Joe's question, are you comfortable with this process? in the lack of public discussion and the fact that this working group that's devoted to healthcare reform has yet to see any language on this bill?
Well, we continue those discussions, Jason. And so we are coming up with those ideas from each of the individual states. You know, we talk about pre-existing conditions, what's the best way to address those. Many of us have met with other individuals on the outside talking about various ways other states have handled situations like this. And so we are bringing all of those ideas back into this work group. We sit around the table and we go through them. We dissect the facts and figures that are given to us, you know, from the various members. And those are kind of the ideas. Once we have reached a consensus in one area, we move on to the next area. So once we have all that discussion done, hopefully compiled in a manner that we all can come to a consensus on, the staff and the committee will actually be writing the bill, but we are the ones that are crafting the bill. So with all of the pieces, we haven't seen that draft language. So certainly Obamacare was a multi-thousand page document, and to expect that one senator or two senators is going to sit down and understand all the legalese to make sure we're addressing all aspects of the healthcare legislation, you know, that is not reasonable to expect. So we are working within that work group. We have the subject matter experts that are working with us. And hopefully we will have a draft language and we will be able to sort through that. But I would also like to see access for the public. I would like to continue to receive that feedback. We hear it coming from the town halls that I've had in the past. We hear it as people are calling into the office. And hopefully we will be able to have a time period where we do receive feedback after the language is released so that we can take those thoughts into circumspect. So we would like to be able to move forward in a very transparent manner. We'll see what happens when we receive that language. I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse.
Well, what's different about this process that it's not appropriate to go through the regular committee process with amendments and markups and anything like any other bill?
Well, I have no problems with it going through the regular committee process. I don't. I think that we should do that. I think transparency is important, but we don't have language yet. So we'll see when the language comes up and how we proceed from there. You know, I do encourage leadership to move in a more transparent manner.
And so where is this language then coming from? If it's not coming from the working group that you're a part of, who are you waiting on to?
Jason, it is being crafted, and we present those ideas, and then the committee staff does have to write that, and they have those legal minds that will write it. You can't tell me that President Obama wrote Obamacare. So it's the staff members that will do the write-up. They will take our desires and craft the bill and write it. And then we will go back through that bill and make sure that it is drafted and has the congressional intent behind it.
Okay. Thank you.
Next, we have Nicole Bresley with the Pella Chronicle newspaper.
Hi, Senator. My questions have already been asked. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Ann Hughes with KWQC-TV.
Hello, Senator.
How are you?
I'm good. We got the notice from your office about the additional sanctions on Russia and Iran. Can you talk about that?
You bet. Well, everybody knows that I've always thought Russia's not our friend. So we'll just start with that. So what the Senate was moving forward on originally was an Iran sanctions bill, because we do see that Iran has continued to be it is the number one state sponsor of terrorism around the globe. And so in order to address some of the infractions that we have seen with Iran, the body of the Senate decided additional sanctions were necessary. So as we move through that process, then as we have seen with some of the actions on behalf of Russia, We thought that it was prudent then to go ahead and add on, through amendment, additional sanctions for Russia. They continue to pose a threat to countries in Eastern Europe as well as other areas. We have seen how they have infiltrated and tried to affect our elections. And so we are trying to show some strength and send a clear message to Iran and Russia that they cannot do these types of actions, and we as a United States are not going to tolerate it.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Next, we have Shane Vanderhart with Caffeinated Thoughts.
My questions were already asked.
Thanks, Shane.
Next is Bob Worthington with KMTV.
Yes, Senator. Could you touch again, you touched on it earlier, on the overall political climate and how you feel things are going right now?
Well, I think on a number of the larger issues, as we see with health care, maybe tax reform, some of those topics we may be more divided on, but you can see that work is still getting done in the United States Senate. We continue to work as a body. We got the Iran-Russia sanctions done today. That was a wonderful bipartisan effort, something that directly impacts the United States as a whole. So we were able to get that done. I announced my bill with Elizabeth Warren. That's the second bill that we have worked on together as primary sponsors. So you'll see that even members that might be greatly ideologically different, we're still coming together to work on things that are important to us. So I think that's important that we keep that in mind. We need to back down on some of the things that divide us and focus more on, even if it's only 2% of the things that we will agree on, let's work on that 2%, and then we'll find a path forward for the other 98%. So we continue to work hard. We want the Senate to work closely together. We want the House to work closely together. And again, just as yesterday, a lot of folks came together. I hope that we continue to remember that we need to come together as a nation. There is a point and a time, and we need to come together now. And we can do that by providing leadership in the Senate and showing other folks that no matter what divides us, we're going to find a way forward and come together on the things that unify us. So I think that we will continue to work together where we can and be respectful in the areas where maybe we disagree.
Next, we have Rob Dillard with Iowa Public Radio.
Hello, Senator.
Hi, good afternoon.
If you could please describe a little more the overall mood at the Capitol following yesterday's shootings.
Well, yesterday was very tragic, and it was very hard. These are colleagues and friends and people that we know. So it was very somber yesterday morning when we received the news of the shootings. And so there was an entire day of almost sadness that something so tragic could happen so close to us. And we have to get beyond that and move forward. And we heard people coming together, you know, off the floor of the Senate. We heard many wonderful words spoken on the Senate from Democrats and Republicans. A dear friend and colleague, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, actually gave a prayer on the floor of the Senate. And they were words well spoken and greatly appreciated by everybody that had interacted with the House members and the Capitol Police and those special agents that were shot. So it was a somber mood yesterday, and you still feel that today. And I think we'll feel that for, you know, quite a while yet to come. But the thought is that, you know, we need to come together, but we need to remain vigilant. And let's just focus on getting our work done and do as best we can to do it in a bipartisan manner.
We have time for one more quick question from Mary Hartnett from KWIT.
Hello. I just wanted to ask, I saw you were at a committee meeting, I believe it was yesterday. You were talking about E-15 and trying to get the rules changed so E-15 could be
sold year-round. How do you think that's going to go?
That is a tricky one. Now, we have been told when we were trying to work to get this committee hearing scheduled that we would likely see a markup on this bill, but there is a lot of opposition to it. And some of the members that come from states that are maybe a little more petroleum rich don't want to see the expansion and the sale of E15 during those summer months. But we heard from witness testimony yesterday that when you are selling it, it can be very confusing to consumers not to have it available during the summer months when they use it all of the other months of the year, and that there is very little difference between E10 and E15 when it comes to the environment. So we want to make sure that our renewable fuel sources are available all year round. Iowa is the largest producer of corn ethanol, and we think this is a great way to move forward without being reliant upon foreign sources of energy and oil, and it's great for our agricultural economy. So we are hopeful. We are going to keep pressing, and we may have a little opposition out there, but you know we will keep pressing, and hopefully we will see this bill come to the committee for markup and hopefully see it on the floor of the Senate.
All right, folks. Well, if you have any additional questions, you can always contact us. We're at press@ernst.senate.gov. Thanks so much.
Thank you, everyone.